Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2, and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. I'm Bramonte Bryant, in for Harold Fisher. Well, basketball star Kyrie Irving says he has no plans on getting the COVID-19 vaccine. With his decision, his team, the Brooklyn Nets, announced that Irving would not practice or play in any games until he is vaccinated. Irving, who is scheduled to make more than $30 million this year, could lose it all as NBA players will not be paid if they do not play. Other athletes have resisted or wavered, and that's not the only big sports news topping the headlines. More than 650,000 emails as part of the NFL's investigation of an alleged toxic workplace in the Washington football team organization ended up leading to Raiders head coach John Gruden resigning after misogynist and homophobic emails from Gruden to then Washington football team president Bruce Allen became public. So it's a lot going on in sports today. What to make of all of this? Tonight, we are talking sports and more. We'd like to hear from you. The phone lines are open, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. But first, we are going to hear from the good doctor, and that means Dr. Reed Tuckson. He is co-founder of Blacks Against COVID-19, and Dr. Tuckson is going to fill us in, or at least give us his thoughts on the situation among athletes and the unvaccinated, those athletes, and maybe why they are resisting becoming vaccinated, at least a small percentage of them. Dr. Tuckson, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, my brother. Appreciate being with you and your audience.
So is it any different among the athletes and those we have talked about on this show before being resistant to being vaccinated? Do they just fall into the same type of category, Dr. Tuckson?
There is a very significant difference between the athletes and their vaccination status and the rest of our community. I think that Kyrie and people like him get the attention of the media. But let's realize, well over 95% on average of all of the players in the NFL, of the NBA, of the WNBA are vaccinated against COVID. So let's be really, really clear. Kyrie Irving is a way out outlier, very different from everyone else. He's getting a lot of attention, and as you mentioned already, about the economics that he's losing. I don't care at all about the economics. What everyone who has a rational mind is saying, that when I have to be around him, he is dangerous. And as a result, because he is unwilling to protect himself, he is also unwilling to protect everyone else. And as a result, we need you to move out of the way. In addition, what the cities that he plays in increasingly are saying is, we cannot afford to have people like you infecting other people in our environment. So if you are not vaccinated, you cannot play ball in our city either. At the end of the day, the final comment I guess I would say is that let's focus our attention as much as we can on the extraordinary success. And if you realize, out of all those players that we are talking about who have been vaccinated, you're not seeing untoward effects. You're not seeing people who are not able to perform their job. What we do have evidence of people who were not vaccinated, who got COVID and can no longer perform in their athletic feats. I really kind of want to be very excited about the extraordinary percent of people who are vaccinated and who are not showing any of the concerns that people like Kyrie have.
Dr. Tuckson, before we let you go, you had mentioned something about, you know, obviously the cities who have these mandates, such as San Francisco, where anyone playing or coming into the city or in an arena must be vaccinated. Are you expecting to see more cities taking this position from a public health concern?
The complicating variable in your very good question has to do with local politics. If you are in an environment which is dominated by Trump people, it is unlikely that you will see that. If you are in an environment that is populated by responsible officials who actually are concerned and distressed that one in 500 Americans have died from this disease. One in 500 Americans have died of this disease already. If you're living in one of those communities like New York and San Francisco, then you will see these major mandates. I think the other element that may define a lot of this is going to be what the private business owners in those communities will require. And so we're seeing more and more private employers demanding vaccination. And so you could see the teams requiring certain kinds of mandates as well. But it's very much dependent on the locality.
Final question for you, Dr. Tuckson. If you had, say, Kyrie Irving or here in D.C., Bradley Beal, two of these most prominent players who have spoken out about their concerns of being vaccinated, and you could have a conversation with them, a one-on-one, what is it that you would say to them?
Very succinctly, I would start out with a sense of compassion and love. Even if we disagree, we have to love each other and we have to be concerned. And I have to express to those two young brothers that I love them and I care about them. Number two, as much as I love and care about them, I care about Black life. It is incompatible, fundamentally incompatible, for you to tell me that you care about Black Lives Matter when you yourself are putting yourself in a position to sicken and kill Black people, when you are putting yourself in a position to keep this pandemic going and destroy Black businesses and Black economic development, when you put yourself in a position to be contributing to the spread of this disease to our children, and you as a role model need to understand that children now, more than 320,000 of our kids got this disease in the last 2 weeks. I cannot have you, young people. You need to understand, sir, that if you are going to talk about Black Lives Matter and then deliberately take positions that put your own selfish interests ahead of Black people's survival, you got a hypocritical problem, young man. You need to look in the mirror and start thinking about where your selfishness ends and your responsibility to the Black community begins.
He is Dr. Reed Tuckson, co-founder of Blacks Against COVID-19. Dr. Tuckson, as always, thank you so much for taking time to join us and to provide your expertise. We always appreciate it.
Thank you, sir. Take care.
Well, we've heard from the good doctor, and he has somewhat echoed what some prominent sports commentators are saying, none any louder, and usually loud, but he was very loud in this particular instance. Stephen A. Smith, he took on Kyrie Irving straight on. Here's a little of what he had to say. It runs about a minute.
So you don't have a problem with taking the vaccine? Your position is that you're going to sit up there and compromise the championship aspirations of an organization you signed on to represent. You coached Kevin Durant in the signing on to represent. You played the role of coaxing James Harden into signing on to represent. You're going to compromise all of that because you want to give a voice to the voiceless. Really? And how is that going to work out for you, Kyrie Irving? You're going to disappear from the game of basketball? Who the hell is going to be interested in what you have to say when you have proven that you can't even be trusted enough to do your damn job? A job you volunteered for. This ain't the military where you were drafted. You chose to play basketball. You chose to enter the NBA. You chose to sign that contract as a free agent to go to the Brooklyn Nets. You chose Brooklyn as your destination. You chose the Nets franchise to represent. You asked KD and James Harden to come on board with you in Brooklyn to establish your own legacy, and then you leave them hanging.
Stephen A. Smith takes it right to Kyrie Irving, somewhat echoing again Dr. Reed Tuckson at a much higher decibel level. So we're going to talk about that, not just Kyrie Irving, but obviously other players who have not been vaccinated and those who have changed their mind and become vaccinated. And also, as I mentioned at the top of the show, other sports issue, predominantly John Gruden resigning after making racist, misogynistic, homophobic comments, and part of those comments coming from a bash, 650,000 emails that were extracted from the Washington football team in the NFL's investigation of the local team. So now, time to really dive into the sports side of things in a deeper way. Joining us is Kelsey Nicole. She is a reporter with Fox Sports. And David Steele, author and reporter slash writer for The Undefeated. Thank you both for being with us.
Thanks so much for having me.
All right, so here we go. Ladies first. Kelsey, one, you probably heard what the doctor had to say. Then we heard what Stephen A. had to say. What say you about this situation with Kyrie Irving and what this means now for the Brooklyn Nets from a team standpoint? Yes, they can still win an NBA championship without him. It would probably be a lot easier with him. What say you about what Irving is doing and what it will mean for the NBA and the Nets per se?
Yeah, thanks so much for that question. And I think it's the question on a lot of people's minds as we count down to the NBA regular season kicking off soon, and especially as we're all watching preseason basketball play out. And I think Kyrie Irving is already one that people have had questions about. He's been no stranger to voicing his mind and opinion and kind of has had different opinions, I think, commonly than the rest of the world. But I think many are looking at him and just saying, why? Like, you've had more than enough time to do your research and understand what the science is saying about this vaccine mandate, and yet still you have to go out there and do quote-unquote more research, and now you're putting your career in jeopardy. And look, there have been many people who have had questions about the vaccine mandate, but again, there's a thing called Google, Bramante, where you can Google anything that you want. There's frequently asked question sheets and things like that out there, so the information is out there. It's up to you to say what you want to get or not get. And there's a lot of people also, Bramante, saying, look, when you're born, you have to get many things to make sure that you stay healthy. You have to get shots and things when you're going to school. And then also, some of us are in jobs where we've actually had to get vaccinated in order for us to do our jobs. And this is the job that Kyrie Irving is in, where they're saying, hey, look, if you want to be a part of our basketball team, and it's a basketball team that many are saying is going to be the team to beat in the NBA, then this is something that you have to do. Your teammates are being held to that same standard, so why should you not be included in that? And we just see this hesitation from him. There's lots of questions from him. You know, it's also something that we're seeing from Jonathan Isaac, someone who I've talked to on my show, and someone who cites his religious reasons for not getting the vaccine. But I think people are just saying enough is enough, Kyrie. And I think people are saying, look, Brooklyn has to find a way to move on without him. I think they're still looking at this Brooklyn squad as a very strong squad, which we actually said last year, some proclaiming them as a super team. But I think there's just too many questions surrounding Kyrie. And look, if you want to move forward, you need everybody who's 100% in, not somebody who's 50% into it. And I think that's what people are looking at with Kyrie Irving. We're looking at the money that he'll lose for the game that he's not playing. But are you really a team player if this is the point that it's come to? But I think many are applauding the Brooklyn Nets organization for finally taking the stance, because I think he was a lingering question for far, far too long. And many of us were just saying, look, there needs to be a definite answer for the team to move forward. And now we finally have heard that.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about the COVID vaccine and athletes and those who are resistant to getting it and why that might be and what it will mean actually for teams and their standing this season. And we're also talking other sports issues. John Gruden is out. Emails have come out about John Gruden, 650,000. He was part of some of those in which he made, again, misogynistic and homophobic and racist comments. He's lost his job. So we're going to talk about that, too. David Steele, you have covered a lot of sports over the years. You have covered the NBA. You've talked to some of the greats. Shaquille O'Neal said a couple of weeks ago, look, I would go upstairs, talking to the Nets hierarchy, and I would say, get him out of here. We can win without him. We've got a 1-2 punch. He's a great shooter, but we've got a great shooter. We've got rebounders. Can the Nets win without Kyrie Irving? And what do you think his stance is doing for the NBA on the eve of the season beginning? Is this a distraction, or is it just something that can't be avoided?
Well, okay, I'll answer the second part of that first, if that's okay. Yeah, it's the NBA is in a spotlight right now that it does not want to be in.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is all the talk, and it has been all the talk since training camp began. And really, in a sense, even before that, because there was so much attention on the Olympic team as well. And let's remember, and you mentioned Bradley Beal, he was going to be on the team that went to Tokyo until he came down with COVID and could not travel. And he came back and he talked about, you know, his battle with COVID when he when the Wizards reported for training camp. And he made it clear, and as far as I know, that hasn't changed at all, that he still has no plans to get it on getting vaccinated. Some of his teammates have done that as well. Other players around the league have done that, and you know, only a very, very small number. I mean, the numbers in the NBA since the beginning of camp and all the talk about this really sort of, really exploded. You know, the numbers have gone up. They've gotten closer to 100%, mm-hmm. but there's still holdouts. They're very loud holdouts, and the support that they've gotten from teammates who have just said, I'm not going to interfere. I'm going to support them. It's their opinion. It's their lives. I'm not going to be the one. You know, that has thrown the league, and that has put a negative spotlight on the league because people like LeBron have said that. And Draymond Green, Andrew Wiggins' teammate, has said that. You know, to continue to see that, you know, and you're right on the money when you say, you know, Shaq has said, no way. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar has mm-hmm. said basically the same thing. You know, people have speculated, what would Michael Jordan do? What would Magic Johnson do? What would Bill Russell do if they were in these situations? And you can just tell, you know, unless they're on some sort of path that is similar to where Kyrie and Bradley Beal and all those guys are, they would say, no, we're, you know, look at the big picture, not just the basketball, but overall, you know, you're here to win for us. You're here to be part of this team. We all sacrifice enormously to win championships. We see that year in, year out, decade after decade, seeing what teams do and players do to win, to be the last team standing at the end. We saw what the Bucks did last year to win, beating the Nets along the way, you know, not having Kyrie in that near the end, and that sort of leads us to the second part of the question. If you're not really ready to do what you have to do to win a championship, from everybody, have everybody be all in, then you're just not going to win. Because there are too many other teams that have that, you know, commitment totally down. You're not seeing Giannis go around talking about, I got to do my own research, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. He's all in to win another championship. You're not seeing Steph Curry say things like that. You know, you're not seeing Luka down in Dallas say things like that. Teams, when they're really committed, and each individual player knows what exactly he has to do to win, they go ahead and do it. And Kyrie clearly has told everybody in no uncertain terms, in completely unequivocal terms, where he's not wavering.
He's going to do his own thing. We're going to continue this conversation. We got to take a quick break. Shay, if you're on the line, stay right there. We are going to get to your phone call. Don't forget, you can hear every edition of the Daily Drum Insight segment via podcast on WHUR.com, or you can download the 96.3 HD2 app on your smartphone and hear the program live in its entirety. Stay right there. The Daily Drum will continue on SiriusXM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2, and 98.3. The original Quiet Storm with John Mons is next on WHUR. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher. This is the Insight segment. Tonight it is a sports roundtable. We're talking about the COVID-19 vaccine and players who are not getting it, and what is the effect on their teams, their organizations. We're also talking about the NFL specifically. We know the Capitals dropped the puck tonight, so the NHL season is up and running. But in the NFL right now, the pressure is on. There are 650,000 emails out there as part of its investigation of the Washington football team, and John Gruden got caught up in those emails that came out. He ended up having to resign. Again, after I've said he's misogynistic, homophobic, and racist comments, he's lost his job. What does that mean for the NFL, and will those emails eventually come out? So we're talking about that tonight. Let's go to the phone lines, and Shay had a comment calling from Maryland. We'll go right ahead, Shay.
A gracious good evening to you and your guest. I want to first say that it takes courage to be Kyrie Irving, and I have some personal things myself that happened. I want to say a thank you, and I appreciate what the doctor said that was on, because he showed love, even though he's in a position where he had to go with what he had, you know, what his agenda is. So But that Stephen Smith, he's a basher, a loudmouth basher. That's what I feel about that. So let me go on. I had a personal experience in 1968. Nobody's talking about that pandemic. It was less than this one, but still people died. I almost died. I was only 22 years old at that time. The injection that I got in 1968, until I could see my ribs, I did not find out it wasn't exposed to me until 2005, that it was a bad batch from 1957 when I was a child. I'm a great grandmother now. I am blessed. I'm so happy about that. But it's not a one size fits all people. I don't know, people are going to, I have a medical.
So Shay, I'm just going to jump in so I can kind of crystallize your point. Would it be that there's reasons for people being hesitant of getting a vaccine just because, as you're mentioning in your experience, you got a bad batch and it ended up affecting you negatively? And some people may have that position on taking the COVID-19 vaccine. Would that kind of be somewhat in the ballpark?
Yes, that is it. Because, see, it's not a one-size-fits-all. So right. People are bashing people with what they're calling, they're trying to pit us against each other, the vax and the unvax, even destroying some families. But my family, I'm glad they're glued enough together to have that understanding. Of course, my family knows about my experience.
Okay.
Even my children were told that, you know, as they were one, I only had one child at the time, and now I have five and,
right.
and 18 grandchildren and four great-grandchildren.
Okay.
So,
well, thank you so much, Shay, for your comment and your question. Glad that you're doing better. You know, Kelsey, that's part of it, right? The counter argument is, are we asking what's in everything that shot that we get? You know, are we asking what's in the flu vaccine when we get the flu shot? Are we asking what's in the ibuprofen? What's it made up of when we have a headache or aches and pains? So I think the counter to that is that we take things all the time medically that we don't know every single ingredient that's in it. So do you think that's part of the pushback on Kyrie Irving, too, that when Stephen A. says it's somewhat hypocritical and Dr. Tuckson is saying it's hypocritical because of the effects it's having on the African-American community? I would think that puts people like Kyrie Irving, especially African-American athletes, in a tough bind. I know I'm kind of switching back and forth on the points I'm making, but if you wrap all of that in it, it still seems to put people like Irving and Bradley Beal and others in a tough position to defend not taking the vaccine. Yay or nay?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think there's a valid counter argument. But to your point, all of us, I was just in line, Bramante, at CVS the other day. There was about six people in front of me. Not one person asked. We all picked up our prescriptions, Bramante, and not one person asked what's inside this medicine, really, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just not one person. And I'm not saying that to say anything condescending. I'm saying that to say a lot of the things that we take, the food that we eat, again, when you're a baby and you're getting different shots, I mean, I know the chickenpox shot is one of the ones that I got as a child. Many times our parents are doing that for our safety. And mind you, I still did get chickenpox as a child growing up. But you're kind of just doing that because it's quote unquote safer. And of course, everything that you do, there's a risk involved. There is a risk for some people health-wise. And I think when you go to get the vaccine, they tell you, you know, if you have any of these symptoms, you probably should not get this vaccine. I think the science is out there, but we're talking about these NBA athlete players who, mind you, make a lot of money and probably have even access to better information than the general public has, right? Because a lot of them, you're able to get your own physician and really ask your own questions and probably have better access and better health care than many of us have. So I understand that standpoint, but I don't think that's what Kyrie Irving is saying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's saying he wants to do more research, but again, Bradley Beal, Kyrie Irving, and every other NBA player, and to David's point, it's not the majority, but of course, this is going to take over the media headlines because we're asking the question, why? Why is this still a problem? You're still going to have to do certain things. When you send your child to school, they have to take certain shots because it's going to make everybody, not just them safer, hopefully, but also everyone around them. It's
right.
Kind of like, you know, you make that sacrifice for the good of all. And that's what people are saying. If everybody else has to do it, why should Kyrie Irving be the exception? And he's had more than enough time, again, to do his research, talk with team doctors, talk with his own doctors about his key questions and concerns. But many of us, when we go to our day job, we're not allowed to have this holdout, right, for a long time. If they're saying it's mandatory to do it, we're seeing this happen with teachers in the classroom. And right now, there's a shortage of teachers nationally, right? They're looking for support staff and things like that. They're looking for people who will be vaccinated because we want to keep our babies safe. And so, again, I appreciate you comment and concern. Again, it is a valid one, but I do think we have to move past that because, again, there's always going to be a risk to everything. But if it's mandated and if your job is telling you that you have to do it, I think there should be no questions asked. And I think that's what people are saying for Kyrie Irving. You signed up to be a ball player. You go to the Brooklyn Nets. And many are saying for Brooklyn, it should be a championship, and that's the only question. If they fail that, many are saying, then, you know, they failed their overall, they failed overall what they wanted to do. When all of these guys joined up in Brooklyn, they wanted to win a championship. They wanted to win a ring. And I think Kyrie will be a huge piece of that. Right. But without him, they're going to have to find another way around that. And that's just, I think, unfair, quite frankly, to the Brooklyn Nets organization when they had a player say he wanted to come there, say he wanted to sacrifice all to be there, and then all of this happens, and then now it's hard for them to just concentrate on basketball because, again, all the storylines are surrounding Kyrie Irving and this ongoing story.
Right. There were one Kevin Durant big toe from getting to the NBA Finals. David, what I think is interesting here, and Dr. Tuckson talked about this, the NBA, as of September 30th, they've got a positive vaccination rate of like 95%. So if we kind of flip it on the other side, it's almost as if Kyrie Irving, wait a minute, look, 95% of your compatriots have been vaccinated. And so I think it almost makes his argument weaker when it seems the major, you know, the vast majority of NBA players, 95%, 93% of NFL players, 86% as of September 1st of Major League Baseball players have been vaccinated. All but four, says NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman. Now, not 4%, all of four players in the NHL, but four, have been vaccinated. So doesn't it in some ways make the argument for those who don't want to be vaccinated, those professional athletes, doesn't it make it sort of tougher for them to have that stance when so many of their compatriots are vaccinated?
I believe it does, and I'm glad you brought that up, and I'm so appreciative of Dr. Tuckson to say to sort of hint at that as well. I mean, I wonder, I mean, it's almost a benefit to both the Nets and to Kyrie in that situation, and we haven't seen other teams yet because, like you said, different cities have different policies and laws and ordinances and stuff. I don't know how any of them can be together, practice together, travel together, you know, commune with each other, mesh, get chemistry and things like that when one person, mm-hmm. and in this case, it doesn't even matter if it's the one of the superstars, one of the linchpins of the team. If one player is basically saying to everybody else, not just the players, the coaches, the staff, everyone in the organization, and the custodial staff, the ticket sellers, you're all wrong, I'm right. Mm. You don't know what you're talking about, I know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. I'm smart, you're not. Mm. How do you work in an environment like that if that's the approach you're bringing? And I wonder that about all the players who are so adamant about saying they've had access to to everything, as Kelsey said. And they've also, everyone knows what all the arguments are, and I'm glad the caller brought up what she did. And I think that there's a very big distinction between I cannot take this vaccine and I will not take this vaccine. Mm-hmm. I think there's a big distinction to be made there with absolutely no disrespect intended to the caller, but this is, they're saying I will not, and they're looking at, and again, we also got to remember, we put this in there, that COVID is a different disease than everything else we've been talking about getting vaccinated for, because it's so contagious, so deadly. We see what the numbers are. Mm-hmm. you know it really can only, it only takes one or two on a team or in an organization that can make an outbreak be really bad, that can continue the pandemic. This is the third NBA season that's affected by this pandemic.
that's a good point.
How much longer are you going to hold it?
Excellent point. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking sports tonight on the Daily Drum, always one of my favorite topics. With us is Kelsey Nicole. She's a reporter with Fox Sports, and David Steele. He is a reporter and writer with The Undefeated and also an author. David, I'm going to come back to you on this one. Dr. Tuckson, you know, really, he gave us some jump off points, and I thought it was interesting that he put the focus on race, right? He said, listen, you African-American athletes, and I'm sure he would say any African-American that holds a prominent position, whether it's Nicki Minaj or Kyrie Irving or Bradley Beal. If you're about Black Lives Matter and saving Black lives, hey, I don't know about you taking this stance. Is that a fair mantle or a fair critique of Kyrie and African-Americans? I think I'm using the wrong word. How do I want to say this? Is it fair to put that on them, or is that just the way it is, especially if you've been out there speaking on social issues?
I believe it is. I'm in total agreement with Dr. Tucks on that. I think that those numbers are growing, and I think that as we see this pandemic continue, and as we've seen the effect that this disease and this illness and this pandemic has had on Black lives, we all know this is like almost just commonplace, common knowledge that everything that affects this country and this world affects us, what, 2, 3, 5, 10 times worse than everybody else. To see what, especially the NBA and the NBA players, what they did to step up above and beyond all the other sports in the last year, year and a half, on behalf of Black Lives Matter, in all the ways they did, from, just from the kneeling to literally everything else they've done, publicly speaking and taking on just the rage of the public, the backlash and the sometimes the violent reactions, the hatred, that they've faced, and to still stood behind those beliefs. It does feel like you're abandoning those beliefs if you then turn around and say, oh, I'm going to get the vaccine. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to, worry about that under these circumstances. It does feel like a betrayal of whatever you define Black Lives Matter to me, because you really do have to ask, well, if Black Lives really do matter to you, why does this not? Because nothing is a bigger threat to Black lives in this country right now than COVID, period. End of story.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. I'm talking sports tonight, just not scores and highlights. We're talking about the issues of sports and how they're affecting the broader society, specifically COVID-19. And we're going to get into now, we're going to take a quick break, not just yet, before we jump into it. Let's go ahead and take a break. When we come back, we're going to switch gears and get into the NFL and the Washington football team and John Gruden and hundreds of thousands of emails and what those emails may say if they ever come to light. This is the Insight segment. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher. This is the Insight segment, and tonight is a sports roundtable. Kelsey Nicole, talk to me about this latest with John Gruden, what it's meaning for the NFL. What are your thoughts? Shocked about what you heard Gruden say? I don't know if anything shocks us anything anymore today, but what are your thoughts on the situation with Gruden and where it sits now with the NFL, where the NFL sits among all of this news coming out?
Yeah, so this whole John Gruden situation, I think, has been a whirlwind for many. I wouldn't use the word shocked, because I think for me it's just another day working in sports. Mm-hmm. Honestly, in America, I think things that were said, the groups that were just horribly, horribly described, I think it's nothing new to us. And you're talking about the National Football League, who you can still consider to be the good old boys league, right? And I think so when we saw these emails come out, I think it was maybe shocking to some, but I think to many of us, we were just like, all right, well, we're glad it's out there, and we know there's going to be more. I think this is why you're already seeing now 40 former Washington football team players saying, employees saying, look, we want more of the emails released, because they know this is not the only thing. I think it's kind of like a tipping stone kind of into what can be huge turmoil for the National Football League. And mind you, the National Football League is a business, Bramante. Just last year, the 32 teams generated $12.2 billion, right? They're the biggest league in America, and just most recently in 2015, they just ended their tax exempt status. So again, we're talking about a lot of money on the line here, and it just seems like Washington can't escape controversy. Already, we were dealing with the raid, right, into Washington football team's trainer, RV, as he's affectionately called, and then we're hearing about now the assistant trainer also being placed on leave. And so I think Washington football team fans, it's just like we're going through this again and again and again, and it's just this constant cycle. And I think it's just hard for many here in D.C. to kind of rock the burgundy and gold. It's like you can't even celebrate much because it's always something. We were just here last year in 2020 when we remember the Washington Post revealed all of the things that were happening kind of behind closed doors, and we heard about the sexual harassment claims and things like that. And then we see the Washington football team being fined $10 million. And I think many people thought that was more. We didn't think, I don't think it would come out when it did. And mind you, many of us were watching the Monday night football game. And then lo and behold, we hear Jon Gruden has resigned as the head coach of the Raiders and, you know, citing he didn't want to be a distraction. But I think it was very hurtful. You know, I was listening to some of DeMora Smith's interviews and, you know, having him have to describe, well, he had to tell his family first about what was going down, and just thinking about, you know, like typical racism in an email. I think for many Bramante, many were hurt because it wasn't enough to talk about DeMora Smith and his facial features, right? That wasn't enough to get Jon Gruden fired. I think many African Americans are just feeling exhausted because once again, racism wasn't enough for someone to kind of get fired in the National Football League. It took more disparaging remarks to more groups for it to finally happen and then him get the chance to actually step down. But I think, you know, Bruce Allen being controversy in Washington, much like David, I've been here all of my life, a very long time, and I know Bruce Allen was somebody that was not liked here during the end of his tenure here in Washington. You know, he's somebody you could go on social media and see the fire Bruce Allen hashtag trending all of the time in D.C. But I think to know that people felt so comfortable and that there was a privilege that these remarks could be exchanged over email, over work emails, and with multiple individuals just feeling so cocky and so confident in saying these things, I think it speaks to a larger problem. And Ronte, I think many are saying it's not just enough to give players decals that they can put on their helmets to say Black Lives Matter, or putting it in the end zone and saying we're donating millions of dollars to social justice initiatives. I think people are saying we need change from the top. We need to see more differences. We need to see more diversity made in leadership with the National Football League, because racism is still an issue, not just in the National Football League, but in America. And it's just very hard after we saw the whole thing happen with Colin Kaepernick. Mm. And some thought the NFL was making progress, but lo and behold, here we are. And I think Jon Gruden right now is the poster child. But if the Washington football team and if the NFL gets pressured and listens to the NFLPA's plea to get the rest of the emails released, I think we're going to see a lot more dominoes drop in this entire thing, because once again, we're seeing inappropriate photos of women being exchanged. We're seeing very derogatory comments about all groups, derogatory comments about people who work in the NFL, including female referees, at a time when we're championing so many more women working in football, and especially to come from a football team that just hired the league's first Black team president, the sole Black team president in the NFL. I think it's just hard.
And I think that's an important part of the conversation too with the Washington football team, beyond what's going on in the field. On the field, the defense can't get out of the way. But David, with these 650,000 emails, do you think that they will come out? The NFL Players Association has asked for them to be released. The lawyer that represents about 40 of the women that that Kelsey, I think, had kind of referred to, who had sued the Washington football team saying that it was a toxic work environment, they are asking for those emails to be released. But they haven't even released a lot of the public investigations. So that's a lot of emails, 650,000. And that's probably a lot of stuff in there that the NFL does not want folks to see. Do you believe those emails will ever see the light of day?
I think it's going to take really literally going to the Supreme Court, which that's another topic entirely.
No, go but right in. Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah. You know,
okay, I got you.
Yeah. No one to make up at all. But they are going to unbelievable lengths to hide those emails, to hide the results of that investigation. Every other investigation this league has done, you think of Deflategate, you think about stuff involving Ray Rice, involving Richie Incognito, just all the things that this league has gotten entangled with. They've released the results of the investigation, good or bad, you know, black mark on the league or not, and they are hiding this. So they're putting this under such tight wraps. You know, the ones from Jon Gruden leaked out, it's still just a tiny, tiny fraction, mm-hmm. and that made them look so bad and shed so many people in a bad light that if the whole thing got released, it honestly could take the whole league down. And so they're fighting. I mean, all the owners, not just Dan Snyder, you know, the commissioner as well. Just
sure.
Every executive. Think of how many executives and coaches were in on the things that Gruden and Bruce Allen we're talking about.
Without a doubt.
There's no, it's hopeless. I mean, it literally, this is one of those weeks where the NFL looks like it cannot be salvaged.
Right.
And it looks like it's a literally anti-black, multi-million, billion-dollar organization that bleeds off of our talent and gives nothing in return and does nothing but dish out harm in return. That's what it looks like. It's their responsibility to prove that it's not. And they're doing a terrible job of that right now.
And I think the other issue, too, that kind of has to be addressed in terms of, you know, Gruden, we're talking about 650,000 emails, right? Well, somehow someone leaked those specific emails. They extracted out of that 650 emails that were related to John Gruden and leaked those to the New York Times and I believe the Wall Street Journal. So is this a situation where someone wanted John Gruden out or wanted to expose John Gruden? Because you've got to go through a lot of emails to pull those specific emails out.
That's a good point. Maybe he was chosen as the sacrificial lamb.
Right.
You know, it may have been personal. I don't rule that out at all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would say I think that's the question that many are asking. Because like you said, why his name? Now, you can point out, I mean, he was getting paid a lot of money in the National Football League, right? It was the rich and coaching contract that he had got. And, you know, I think many are saying, well, why these emails? And to David's point, some are saying, is he the sacrificial lamb? You know, we've all been in trouble with a group of friends, and sometimes you're like, well, wait, who can actually take this blame right now? You know, who has the quote-unquote least on their record, right, that can do it? And that's what it's looking like. But that's why people are saying, you know, is it enough to just put him out there? And people are saying no, because we know that there's more, as David alluded to. The people on this email chain, even including business owners of companies that were on this email chain, it's just very scary to know the length that this might go. And to David's point, might tip a huge billion-dollar industry and, you know, what is currently America's pastime. And we're in the midst, mind you, of an NFL season that will probably be profitable coming off a COVID NFL season, because now we have fans back in stands. And so I think the NFL is really in a tight spot right now, because this has just taken over, I mean, every national media headline story.
And we know, David, the power of the NBA Players Union. And with the NFLPA requesting those emails, we know that their union is not as strong as the NBA. So I would think, to both of your points, it may be a tough deal for the NFLPA to push the league to release those emails just because of the lack of sort of power that they, when I say lack of power, you know, in relation to the NBA Players Association.
Yeah, it may be the NFL tactic to wait them out.
Mm-hmm.
No one has, that's what they do in every labor negotiation. They know the players are not around very long. Their careers are short. You know, they're in danger of their careers ending every second. The money doesn't last long. The contracts are unguaranteed. You know, the people who have the most power, you know, the union and the players, you know, they still don't have the most leverage. But if they somehow figured out a way to wield that power and flex it, it really could do the kind of damage that really kind of the NFL has brought on themselves. And before I know I said before anti-black, they're anti-everything. I don't want to leave anybody out. They're anti-everything but white, straight men, apparently. I mean, that's what they stand for. Nothing. Everyone else is on the outside, and they're on the inside. It's really, it's repulsive, really.
Before we leave, the Dodgers and the Giants play tonight, Game 5? Is that?
They're not till tomorrow night.
That's tomorrow night. Okay, so before we go, we've got like 1 minute, so let's just do straight sports here. You've got a team that won, let me make sure I got my numbers right, 107, and a team that won 106. Is that right?
That's correct.
Am I right? Okay. What's our prediction game 5 tomorrow? Because this really should be the National League Championship Series, really. Who do you got, Dave?
I'm going to go with the Dodgers. I think there's some power in being the defending champs and having just done it with this same group of guys and this manager. I'm going to go with even on the road, I'm going to go with the Dodgers.
All right, Kelsey?
David is a man that's good with his words. That's why he's an author. I'm completely agreeing with him. I'm also taking the Dodgers as well.
All right. Well, I'm going for the Giants just because they're playing at home and Willie Mays. So there we go. All right. Well, look, Dodgers, Jackie Robinson, which could kind of trump that, too. So, anyway. Kelsey Nicole, reporter for Fox Sports. David Steele, reporter, writer with The Undefeated, and author and fellow Terp. I've got to squeeze that in. You too, Kelsey, right?
Yes.
Okay,
yes,
I can't forget this. This is an all-Terp night on Howard University Radio. I might not be on tomorrow. All right, thank you both so much. We appreciate it. That's the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for Wednesday, October 13th. I'm Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher. Have a great night.